The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A little startling. We're okay. When Jim and I moved to Berkeley so I could attend seminary, we left the home I had lived in for over 20 years. We rented that home to some people who wanted to live on Bainbridge for a time in order to figure out if this was a place that could be home for them. We left many of our furnishings, packed some things up and put them in storage, loaded up other things into a moving truck, and drove ourselves to Berkeley. I will never forget pulling up to the ugly old apartment building that was to be our home for 3 years. It sat on the corner of two very busy streets, one of which hosted a popular bus stop, the other of which hosted the drunken Cal students every Friday and Saturday night. We'd arrived at our new home, and I didn't want to get out of the car. It was noisy. There were people everywhere. Cars didn't stop at stop signs, and it was gritty, really gritty. When I finally did get out of the car, we walked around the building and found our apartment. We were on the first floor, and yes, our living room looked out on the bus stop. Our kitchen, the place where I spend nearly all my time at home, looked out on nothing. A dingy blank wall above the sink, a dingy blank wall above the 1960s electric stove. All the windows had been left open because the crummy old carpet had just been cleaned. It was so loud, so loud. I longed for the only occasional car and the constant birdsong of my real home. If there were birds in Berkeley, I couldn't see them or hear them. People yelling, cars honking, buses stopping and starting, trucks beep, 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 beeping. I wasn't in that apartment 30 seconds before I dropped to my knees, put my head in my hands, burst into tears, and cried, "Honey, take me home." home. What makes a home? How do we know we're home? Is home a place, a feeling, a sensibility? While you might not realize it, this story of the Magi following that bright star in the night sky is really a story about home. It's about leaving home, about finding home, about homing instincts. Three men, at least we think it was three men, left their home to follow a bright star into a world they never, ever could have imagined. Seems unlikely, doesn't it, that three kings would jump on their camels and follow a star? We think of them as three kings, but that's probably because the gifts they brought were fit for a king. It turns out they probably weren't kings at all. These magi were surely important, people set apart, but they weren't kings in that sort of political royalty way any more than Jesus was a king in that sort of political royalty way. The Magi were likely people of a priestly class from Persia or Babylon, probably experts in the occult, in the interpretation of dreams. We would know them more as magicians, sorcerers, astrologers, or stargazers. So that bright star in the east that seemed to just settle in one place was probably of more interest to them than it would have been to the average person. And still, one wonders how such a star could have compelled only three people to seek it out. I have to believe that lots of people saw that star. Those wise men knew it was the star that belonged to the new king of the Jews, so it had to have been evident to more than three professional stargazers. Stunning stars and comets were thought to herald new kings in ancient times. They were the signs of heaven's crowning a new ruler. There were magnificent comets when Augustus, Caesar, and Nero were born, and lots of people saw them. So why wasn't anybody else paying attention to this amazing star, the star the wise ones said was his star? We have observed his star at its rising, they said, and have come to pay him homage. They couldn't have been the only ones who knew. Was it that other people didn't pay attention? Was it that they weren't curious about such a dazzlingly bright star? Were they simply uninterested? Or did they see the star and look away, not wanting to be disturbed by something so strange, not wanting to wonder about what such a thing might mean for them? Not wanting to step out of their comfortable certainties, not wanting to be called away from their perfectly prescribed lives. It's hard to leave home. I know that very well. But the Magi did leave home and likely traveled hundreds of miles to Jerusalem. The star that captured their attention had captured their intention indeed. They set their sights and their minds and their course by it. That star was their homing device, drawing them to a new home in Christ Jesus. They made their way by that star, but we need to remember it was not the star they were after. It was the newborn king of the Jews. These wise ones were not Jews, but the star beckoned them anyway. Beckoned them to Jesus, the new king, who was king of the wise ones too. That's one of the beauties of Epiphany. This day we celebrate the manifestation of Jesus Christ as the light bright enough to light up the whole wide world. Yes, Jesus was king of the Jews, but as it turned out, he belongs to everyone. Those wise ones must have thought the new king would be born in a palace, which would, of course, have been in Jerusalem. But when they went to the palace, they didn't find the new king, they found the old king. And so they asked the old king, that would be Herod, where the new king was to be found. Not so wise. As you might imagine, this did not go over well. And why are these not at that moment very wise men asking Herod where the king is? They have the star to follow, right? They shouldn't have needed to ask directions. But if they hadn't, the story would have gone an entirely different way. And because God and people work in mysterious ways, the fact that those seekers stopped to ask old King Herod where they find the new king probably shouldn't surprise us. Of course, Herod was enraged, and when that scheming, power-crazed ruler heard their questions, he began to plot a way to eliminate any threat of a new king. He even figured out a way to use those wise men to help him find the new king so he could kill him. The wise men didn't know until later when they dreamed dreams that told them the true story. They didn't know that Herod was evil. Evil is tricky. It doesn't always show up as some ungodly monster with a devil's tail and a spear in hand. Evil is often dressed in a suit, walking himself into the room and commanding all sorts of attention. And it's easy to play along. Evil can't actually function by itself. It needs us to comply. Our complicity comes in various forms. We're too tired of all the bad news and we can't take it in anymore. We're busy with our children and grandchildren and we need to spend our energy on our own families. We give, we donate, we even work at the food bank, but we don't lift our eyes to the horizons of our world where all manner of atrocities are being committed. Herod was so crazed and so afraid of losing his power that he had every single boy child under the age of 2 killed. My grandson is under the age of 2. Yes, all that happened in Palestine thousands of years ago. But have we any idea of what's going on in Palestine now? Do we really have any idea of what is happening in our own backyard right now? It's so much easier just to stay home, to turn inward, to skip the weird and crazy stuff going on out there in the world, whether it be political assassination, children dying of starvation, or people living in tents over there by the highway. It's too much. I know this. I can't take in the news as I ought to. But there are things each one of us can do. We don't have to look away. The Magi, those wise ones who followed the star, had many things to teach us. They listened to what called to them, and not only did they listen, they followed. When they came upon the evil one, they listened to him too, but they did not follow. Having heard the prophecies, they returned their gaze to the star and made their way to Bethlehem. The star was their homing device, bringing them to the newborn king who was not just the king of the Jews, he was their king too. And they knew that the moment they saw him. They bowed down, they worshiped him, and when it was time to leave, having been warned in a dream, they went home by another way. home by another way. That is so much of the Epiphany story. We think we know where home is, think we know how to get there until we're stunned into the recognition that the place or the person or the job or the body we have always called home isn't so reliable. We think we know our true north until he leaves or she dies or the great silence in the house tells us we are in a house, not a home. Sometimes we need the big journey, the bright star, the thing we could never ask for or even have imagined in order to get us to look, to really look at what we think we can count on, what we think is our home. Home isn't a place. It isn't a building or a nest. Our home is in God. It's Epiphany. And the way we tell the story is that three wild and wise men followed a star they couldn't take their eyes off of. It took them away from what they thought was home to their true home in God. It's Epiphany. And today we celebrate the light of Christ that glows bright enough for everyone everywhere to see it and to come. It's Epiphany. It's time for us to rise and shine and be the light that came among us when Jesus was born. Amen.